Hi, I'm Dante Vanny.
And I'm Nate. I'm the co-host here, too.
And this is the Whole Earth Podcast.
Welcome.
All right, so...
here we are again. Welcome back, everyone.
Yes.
Anyone still wants to see us? Yes. Not see us. Hear us.
I mean, if you want to see us, you should go over to our social media pages.
yeah. Sorry, hear us. If you want to hear more of us and you like hearing this, thank you for coming back.
Yep. Definitely.
So, this week's episode, we're going to be talking about... Wait for it.
Wait for it.
All right, I'm going to have to take my headphones off for this.
What are you... Oh my God. Yes.
Okay.
Oh my God. Nate just put on a headband.
I just put the headband on.
That was adorable.
All right, I'm in character. I'm ready for this.
So we are talking about... Karate Kid! Through the generations.
Wax on, wax off. But we're not talking about waxing...
Take your jacket off. Take your jacket off.
No body hair wax.
No. Oh, God, no, we're waxing cars.
Yep. But yeah, take your jacket off. Take your jacket on. Okay. All right.
We'll get into that.
Before we go into all of this, one thing I want... I took a bunch of notes over all of this, and I know you've seen my notes. Or yes. At least you looked at it?
I've seen some of your notes.
Okay.
I want to state, before we get into this whole thing, we are covering Karate Kid 1984.
Correct.
Karate Kid 2010, and then Cobra Kai Season 1.
Yes.
And that is what we're covering. Because we
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. I was going to say, let's talk about why we picked these movies and this TV show. Why this franchise? What got us started with that?
I don't know. I just wanted to do something generations wise. We wanted to do a generations sort of podcast where we talk about a movie that hasn't been done every. What would it be?
I would say it's like. Maybe I'm wording it wrong when I say this, but I thought it was like we've seen a movie that has been made. And has been changed in a different generation of time.
Yes.
What are the differences and why would they make it this way and why go back to it? And
yes.
Of course, we could have covered all sorts of movies I was thinking of. But The Karate Kid stood out to me because it was something that came out in the 80s and it didn't come out again until 2010.
Yeah.
But then actually now when I look at it, there's actually more movies.
There are more movies.
I didn't realize that.
So it's Karate Kid, Karate Kid 2, Karate Kid 3, and then the next Karate Kid. We're only covering Karate Kid 1, the beginning of 2, because that's like...
Probably should have been the after credits or end credits of 1.
It should have been the end credits of 1, but it makes sense for the time period.
Yeah.
They just ended it on a victory.
So the way I took my notes, I'd like to talk about the first movie, the 1984 movie, then the 2010, then Cobra Kai, and then after that, I wanted to talk about old versus new, like from the beginning of where they started to where we are now. And of course, the adventure along that way, that like the path, I guess, that would lead to where we are now.
Yeah.
Is that okay if we go in that order?
I would love to.
Okay. Okay, so the first movie came out in 1984. The second movie came out in 1986. The third one, Karate Kid 3, 1989. And then the next Karate Kid, 1994.
Yeah.
So it came out a couple years later. Then we don't get another Karate
Kid.
Maybe
we should have had... Maybe we should have had that one in there, too, because that is...
That was the 90s?
That is a 10-year gap. Missed opportunities!
Oh.
I've seen it, so I can go over it
You've
a little
all
bit.
Of them.
Yeah, I've seen all of them.
And can I say one thing? This is embarrassing to admit, but I hadn't seen any of these until we did this podcast.
Embarrassed for
and
you.
All right. Okay, and then 2010. I didn't realize this, but it's considered a remake, not a reboot.
It's literally like a remake.
Starring Jackie Chan and Jada Smith, and it was produced by Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith, which we know there's a bunch of drama with them going on right now.
We don't have to talk about that.
Well, I'm just saying, this is their material, and here's where they are now.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting direction of how it was made then versus how it was in 2010,
and
how the timing of, because in the '80s, how they make movies, it was very eighties like. And I when I watched it, I was like, oh man, I didn't realize it was an '80s movie or know how old it was. Then I watched the 2010 one, and I'm like, this feels more dated than the '80s one for some reason. and then fun facts I want to share with you: there is a Karate Kid TV show. Did you know about it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an animated TV show.
Yeah, animated, yeah. And it was supposed to be on for 65 episodes, and they only aired 13. And it aired in 1989.
That is sad. That is very sad.
And yeah, it didn't last much longer.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. All right, so what did you want to cover with the first? So you wanted to cover all of it first.
Yeah, can we cover the first movie, the original 1984 Karate Kid?
All right, so Danny.
Well, can I just Daniel. Say one thing before we start with Danny? No, okay, that can't. Movie came out in 1984. Do you know what else came out in 1984?
It's on your notes.
Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones, the first one. The Terminator, mm-hmm. Ghostbusters, 16 Candles, Children of the Corn, Footloose, Friday the 13th 3, Halloween 2, Gremlins, The Hills Have Eyes, Neverending Story, and Frankenweenie. Jesus, that's a, like those are a lot of hits too. Like,
yeah. There's been a lot of remakes of those too.
Isn't that kind of funny when you look at that? And I'm like, oh man, these were all really good. Now wait till I cover the 2010 one.
Yeah, not good.
It's not going to be the same. Anyways, now let's go into the movie.
All right. So,
Daniel
LaRusso and his mom move to L.A., California?
California,
He goes to this beach with these dudes he thought were his friends. He sees this girl he thinks is cute. He walks up to her. Then the fucking antagonist, he plays Johnny Lawrence. He's like this huge martial art, like, bully in the school, I guess. Anyway, he pulls up on these motorcycles, crashes the party. Anyway, long story short, Daniel gets jumped by these guys later in the movie, meets Mr. Miyagi.
Doesn't just a Mr. lot of Miyagi karate. Battle, like, fight the kids?
Yeah, he takes on, like, six kids and beats the living shit out of them. Which, please don't do that to any kids. Yeah,
this was in the 80s. It was not frowned upon back then. You have to remember that. I mean, yeah, we're like, no, this is bad. But then back then they were like, it's okay. They're bad kids.
Okay, but I should also mention the bullying in this movie is like, if you think of bullying in real life as like a 10, this movie cranks it up to like a 15.
I kind of felt bad for the bully.
Yeah, I know.
I did. And I went to Chanel and I was like, this poor kid's on the toilet. I think he's rolling up something.
He's rolling up a joint.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say what it was. He's like rolling up something. And the kid's bringing this, like, a hose in there. I'm like, okay, if anything, like, he deserves his ass kicked.
But he did kick Daniel's ass before that, though. Like, and he was picking on him throughout the whole school. But, like, even what the protagonist does is considered bullying. So, like, he has a reason to, like, he doesn't have a reason to chase him down, corner him against a fence, and then have him and his buddies beat the living shit out of him. But at the same time, you just kind of feel bad for both sides. Like,
it seemed awkward. But then I felt, like, as I was watching, I'm like, well, this is very 80s, so I guess...
It's very 80s. Like, the whole movie. Yeah.
Did you notice the Spider-Man cameo? I didn't know there was a Spider-Man cameo in this movie, and then when I saw it, I was like, oh my god.
Oh,
Spider-Man makes an appearance.
At the Halloween?
Yeah.
Yeah. I hated that. Shower?
Shower suit?
The shower costume was horrible. So, anyway, Mr. Miyagi teaches Daniel how to fight. They make a bet with Cobra Kai, or not a bet, a truce with Cobra Kai until the tournament. Tournament comes, Daniel beats the living shit out of Johnny, and wins the tournament. That's basically, he also gets the girl. Pretty basic storyline.
I had an issue with
the missing
ending.
A lot, but...
No, but I had an issue with the ending. Yeah. It kind of just cuts to credits. He's like, here's the trophy. What?
So they hand Daniel the trophy, and then it pans over to Mr. Miyagi and kind of like zooms in a little bit, and then it fades to black.
Yeah.
And that's it. Now, the start of Karate Kid 2 is Daniel and Mr. Miyagi coming out of the All Valley tournament, and Johnny is getting shit from his sensei, and then his sensei puts him in a headlock and starts, like, literally choking him to death. Like
a bully.
Like a bully. Like a bully would.
Yeah.
So, like, you can see, it's kind of, it shows where Johnny gets his aggression from, but, like, at the same time, I don't feel bad for him in the moment, because throughout the whole movie he was a complete asshole, and even though he's being choked by his sensei now, that's basically what it was trying to show, is that the teacher is like the bad guy here, not Johnny the kid.
Didn't really come clear to me.
It doesn't
through the first movie.
That's the point. That's what I'm trying to say, is like, even though I watched through the first movie, you don't really get a sense of how evil this dude is. So when you see him choking Johnny in the parking lot, you're supposed to feel like, oh, this is why Johnny was a complete asshole to Daniel. He had a sensei say, who only cared about showing no mercy.
It reminded me of Star Wars. There's like, oh, poor Darth Vader. He's being bullied by the Emperor.
Yeah. So...
also in the 80s.
Yeah. But both those movies came out in the 80s, so it was just... it was a poor attempt at showing the effect a sensei, or in this case, I guess, just like white American sensei, or just like a teacher has on a kid, yeah. Right? Like, just a teacher has it on a kid. Let's just boil it down to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's... I kind of summed up the whole movie very quickly, but...
yeah, well, covered in, like, multiple... it was okay. I was honestly a little impressed with it, where I was kind of coming out of it kind of, like, seemed like a rushed ending, like they ran out of film footage or something. Yeah. I also felt like they spent a little bit too much time on training, and I kind of think that was either they were trying to do something poetic, or... it reminded me of Star Wars again, where, like, Luke is being trained by Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And then Yoda.
And, like, this is kind of, like, referencing that in that way. It reminded me of that. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching it in Star Wars and not being bored. For some reason, I was a little bored for some of this. But they did have funny moments. And the actor that played Mr. Miyagi, he was funny. And I liked him. He made a scene work where if he hadn't done something in that scene, I would have been like, well, this is boring. Or it wouldn't, like, he would say something that was, like, poetic or, like, meaningful.
Yeah.
And a lot of life lessons that he kind of gave.
Like instilled in figure. Daniel. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where I think, like, it really worked for me. And so that's to me, like, the best magic of what the movie is. And I'm sure the sequels probably have more of him because they saw how good he was.
So the lessons that Mr. Miyagi instills throughout the three movies that he and Daniel are together in, they're so, like, powerful. Like, even if they're, like, they don't really make sense, it does. But it doesn't.
It is funny.
It works. It works for the scene, is what I'm trying to say. Like, his charisma just bounces so well off Daniel and instilling something in him.
Yeah. You know? And his way of giving life lessons was different than what I was expecting, because he'd be like, well, you got to go do this. And he's like, but why? And then later on, he's like, oh, that now it makes sense. And then he stopped asking why, because he started just to accept it and appreciate what he can teach him, and no longer. I mean, there's like a life lesson there, a life story there, that about growing and maturing or evolving or whatever. That I...
becoming a man.
Yeah, I guess, or manhood or adulthood.
Just learning how to defend yourself, mainly.
Yeah. It's like, and also picking and choosing your battles.
Yeah, being exactly.
Like, this isn't worth it. Don't need to fight over this. Let this go. Let them think they won, because they don't really know what they're talking about.
Yeah. They didn't really win. You did.
Yeah. And it reminds me of other characters, of other stories we watched, which makes me feel like, okay, well, there's something there about storytelling. Like, you can make this character clever and smart, and then it shows how strong they are in their personality.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. I had a lot of fun watching it, even if technology and some of the filmmaking choices, how they overhype every situation.
Yeah, it was very dramatic in that sense, but 80s, like, I guess.
I did remember reading in your notes, I think it was like the notes while you were watching, but you said Mr. Miyagi might be a criminal.
Yeah, I put that he might be a criminal, he might be a drug dealer, because he has 8 cars. He doesn't have a license. Doesn't drive.
He had 4 cars.
Oh, 4 cars?
5, technically, because he had the truck, and then he gave one to Daniel.
Who didn't also have a license to drive either.
But he got one.
Yeah, but I was just like, it's in the 80s. They didn't really care.
He got one when they were at dinner.
Yeah, I put that he might be, because it was just, like, there was vibes I got from the storytelling. I'm like, why is this little kid hanging out with this janitor all the time, and his mom's not questioning it? But it was also a time period where it was, like, less creepy to be, because it just sounds...
yeah,
and
she was working all the time. Like, she's not there, like, being like, who are you hanging out with today? It's like, I was just hanging out. Like,
it just irked me a little.
You know why? I mean, you don't know why he has all of the money he does, but he was in the military.
Yeah, well, it's explained that. But I'm talking before I got that explanation. Yeah. And then, like, his talks about his family. That's when it got really sad.
I know,
talks
right?
About his past and his
Ash
kid.
Ash watched it with me, and she was almost in tears.
He was showing that side of him that we never seen, showing how hurt or how much he's had been...
through.
Everything he's been through.
Yeah.
Which shows a lot of a life lesson that he's showing with Daniel, of like everything Daniel's going through, being bullied. He's like, Daniel has to feel like, okay, my life's not that bad. Or, you know, I don't have as much struggle, even though his dad's on the picture. But then, which is why I think Mr. Miyagi really connected with him, because he's like, oh, this kid doesn't have a father figure.
Yeah.
And I don't have a family anymore. It's just hard to even talk about.
Yeah.
But Yeah, it was powerful. That was like one of the most powerful moments.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
That was like, yeah, that's like the best thing to say about that movie. So yeah, it's not the worst. Definitely. I'm not saying it is. Is there anything else you can say about it? I think I covered it all in my notes.
I definitely want to start waxing and waxing off my car or my girlfriend's car every once in a while.
You're just getting some karate training. What are you doing out here? I'm just training for a fight tournament. Maybe never, yep. But who knows?
Yep.
I'm just waiting for a bully to go up to beat up. But yeah, I think we've covered everything for that movie.
It was still good. I thought it was good. Did you like it?
I thought it was okay. I'd probably rewatch it, but it's not my go-to. This is my issue. Okay, I have like different interests and tastes in movies than you.
No, I know.
There's so many other 80s movies I would love to watch more. So I'd be like, oh,
Nightmare on Elm Street.
I'd probably even go back to Breakfast Club.
Oh, that's a great movie.
And I'm not downing this movie. There's just the thing about the 80s, in my opinion, there's so many damn good movies.
Oh, I know.
And when we go to the next one, whenever we transition, I'd like to cover the movies of the 2010s. Because there's far less movies to cover because the magic's not there anymore. I don't know what the 80s had that made it so good. Maybe it was just a lot of coke and heroin. I don't know what they were on.
There was just a lot of
creativity.
Creativity, yeah. Obviously, things get more expensive, so studios have to be more precise with what they put out.
Greed, maybe? I don't know.
Definitely greed. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, they have to be precise in the sense that they have to put out something that sells.
Because I named like 12 or 10 or something movies, and I'm like, there's so many good movies. So it's okay. Yeah. I don't love it. I don't hate it. It's something that I probably would sit down and rewatch.
Okay, cool. All right, so we should transition to 2010, 26 years into the future.
Oh my God.
To 2010.
This is crazy. So starting in this movie, it was extremely different. It didn't feel the same at all.
Nope.
It didn't. I mean, it obviously wasn't the same actors. It wasn't the same characters. But they tried to pull the same, like, slightly the same script, but like,
it's literally
urbanized it.
It's literally the same script, but they just added different moves for how Jaden gets his training, and then they set it in a foreign.
That's the one land. Pro I want to give it. I think a fish out of water setting was a unique change to put him. Although the other one, Daniel was in a new town. He was the newcomer. This is in a new culture in a new country. It's even more limiting to language barrier, you know, limited communications. So I thought that was an interesting fish out of water direction to go. If you're going to do a reboot or remake, it's a remake. It felt like that was a quality I would want to try to change. And that was the one thing I was like, oh, that would make it difficult and did it in a different kind of concept in that sense.
I will agree that it was a bold move and that it was a plus, but the way they executed it after he moved there, it just...
The rest of it didn't work.
It didn't work.
I completely agree.
I liked the fish out of the water, like going to somewhere new.
The concept
was great.
Yeah, I was like, oh, they're doing
execution,
this.
Hard.
Yeah.
Was and, not good.
And I'm not, again...
Also...
I don't like... Sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I don't like the guy, the actor they chose to play the main character. It just didn't work.
Jaden?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was being way too,
he was
like,
11.
Goofy. He was supposed to be funny, and I'm like, no, he's not supposed to be that
and,
funny.
And, yeah, he was 11. Some of the lines that he said...
Didn't seem like a kid that age. It just was weird.
Yeah, and then some felt like it was just a kid stumbling through a line.
It looked like it was just Will Smith telling him, this is you being kid Will Smith and just trying to be the smooth talker.
It just
getting the ladies.
Work.
Daniel never did that. He wasn't like smooth talker trying to like flirt with every girl. And this one, he's like, hey, what's up? I got, you know, I'm single. Yeah. I'm in your country.
Also, how can Jackie Chan has so much charisma as just a person in general.
I see what you mean.
He just,
or what you're saying,
none of that translates in this movie. And he's even less Miyagi-like than Miyagi.
Yeah,
and
he was kind of more of an old, grumpy old man, kind of.
It just was, it didn't work.
It didn't for me either. And when I saw him in the movie and I saw his name, his title card show up in the credits, and then we see him, I was like, oh, this could work. Nope. He's more famous than that actor, right?
Yeah, yeah. The only thing that worked about Jackie Chan being in the movie is that one fight scene he had with kids was just defending the whole time. and like kind of just like did what Jackie Chan does in any mm-hmm. Jackie Chan movie, be fucking awesome at his own stunt work. But that was it. There was nothing there with him.
The setting was okay. Everything else didn't work. Like, Mr. Miyagi didn't work. The kid that plays Daniel, is his name even Daniel in this one?
No, it's Dre.
Dre, yeah. It's nothing Dre. Worked.
I mean, I like the name Dre, but like...
That's not going to save the character, though.
It doesn't save the character, no.
Yeah. And then the relationship with him liking a girl also made even less sense, because they didn't even know each other, where the other girl at least knew him.
I know.
I was like, what?
Also, then there's a scene where he's playing with this girl that has the violin, and he takes her case, and he goes running in a fountain. He goes running where the water, like, shoots up out of the ground, you know, those things. What if the water got in her case and ruined her violin? Like, that is property damage.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to her? And then also, like, it was supposed to be cute, right? But then they're also telling a story with each other, like, during a theater thing. And they literally kiss right in front of the monitor that is talking about how these two people hooked up for one night. How is that even... I mean, cool. That's a cool tradition that happened with these... But at the same time, like, it was... Plus, the music choices?
Yeah, I was going to say...
Really bad.
It's like, at least 1984 movie, like, the music was, like, always good hits. Whatever. This one, I was like, it's very dated, and it's out of place.
Why did he have a skateboard? He rode that skateboard precisely twice? One time.
Oh, only once?
Like, one time.
I thought he had it on...
Maybe two, but still, that's not enough to have it in every
it
other scene.
It was big in 2010. Well, maybe that's why.
Gives a shit?
Speaking of 2010, Iron Man 2... Jackass 3D, Saw 7, Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief.
I saw that.
Toy Story 3.
Saw that. That was sad.
Oh, God, yeah. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Twilight Eclipse, Despicable Me, Shrek 4, How to Train Your Dragon.
Those were all great movies.
Yeah.
I don't think you named a single good or a bad movie except for Eclipse and...
Those are the hits, though, but yeah.
Yeah. I guess hit-wise.
Yeah.
But, man, and then the Jumbotron? Why do they have a Jumbotron at a karate tournament?
That was weird.
Plus, like...
They're showing a replay a second after it just happened.
They did... They showed replays. They, like, did, like, a little point system that Jaden had to look to, like, every single time he got a point to make sure he got a point.
Maybe that's something they do. I mean, I'm not no expert here, but I've never gone to karate tournaments. Maybe they...
I don't think they do that. It seems so extra. Like,
it seemed dramatic. Why? So that's probably what they're going for.
They would have had to be filming every single person fighting at the exact same time.
Yeah.
That is so many cameras. Yeah. That's so many cameras. Why would they do that?
It only works in the movie.
And it does. It only works in the movie, and it didn't even work in the movie. Exactly. It didn't work. It
doesn't even work when it's supposed to.
I'm so sorry.
The movie doesn't know what it's supposed to be.
I'm getting...
Are you a little bit worked up on this?
Okay, so when we picked this topic, I was like, why have I not seen this movie since it came out? And I'm like, I remember why I didn't ever watch this movie again.
Like painfully going through it.
This is like...
Can I say something?
Yes, please.
It's so funny to me, when I saw this movie, it was painful, and I thought the first movie, 1984, was like awkward and cheesy, mm-hmm. and then I saw this, and I'm like...
Yeah.
This is worse. And that one was not the worst, but it was just okay. And I'm like,
it was all right. Yeah.
If you're going to make a remake, aren't you trying to try to fix things or make things better? Not why would you want to go this route?
Also, Karate Kid 1984, 2 hours long. Karate Kid 2010, 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Oh, it was longer?
It was longer. That. And none of it I wanted to watch. I'm sorry.
It was longer movie.
Jackie Chan, I love you as an actor, but I feel bad for you that you had to do that movie.
I mean, like, you got paid. I'm sure he's okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure he's fine with it. But, like, at the same time, he just doesn't look like he's having fun on the movie.
That's the thing. Like, the chemistry, I'm like, he almost seemed irritated to be in this movie.
Exactly.
He might have been, like, pressured into it. Like, got a contract and signed something. He was like, oh, crap. So, okay. So, we're going from 1984 to 2010.
Big setback.
Which is one thing I want to mention. Maybe this is why we didn't get another Karate Kid for so long. Maybe this movie was so bad that they didn't want to touch it. Because who would want to after how bad it did? I wonder how bad it did in theaters.
I wouldn't
just
expect
the Will Smith fans.
I wouldn't expect it doing well, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
I thought I had read that it was a hit. But it was probably people that saw the movie that never saw the original.
Oh, can I also say that when they're fighting him and Ching... you know, his arch rival.
His, like,
why do you have a rival?
10-year-old and rival.
And when you're 10 years old, like, why would you have a rival? Anyway.
They were little. They seemed even younger than the kids they in the were. First. I they was were. Like, why are they in, like, elementary school?
They were.
School?
Anyway. Besides that, when they were fighting at the end, him and that guy, that antagonist character, the camera was shakier than shit.
To cover up bad choreography.
It was so bad.
Is to shake the camera so it covers up the bad choreography.
It was horrible. And then when Jaden got hurt, or Dre, the main character, got hurt.
Yeah.
Jaden got hurt. There was no cutaway scene to his mom being like, oh, is he okay? Yeah. Like, he just stands up and does the fucking crane maneuver and wins.
Can I speak about the kick?
Yes, please.
Okay, in the original, he does a flying crane kick into his face.
Yeah.
And this one, he does, like, a stupid backflip. Do you remember it?
Yeah.
And I was like, this seems even more ridiculous than
he
the original.
He spins.
Yeah.
So the guy doesn't kick him. He lifts off with one foot. With one foot, he flips. And then with that same foot, he comes down upon the kid and hits him, like, in the, like, top, on top of the head / the back of the head because it's,
as
like,
he's flying back down.
Yeah.
And I was like,
the kid just goes straight into the mat.
I would be more, like, forgiving if the movie had already established physics or not. Like if the movie had already said to me, okay, physics out the window. Oh, it's fine. We're going to do things that don't really make sense. But the movie was trying to be physics were normal. So when it did something like that, I'm like,
I know.
It just,
it didn't make sense.
It didn't. And that's where
it didn't fit either.
That's where I was definitely disappointed that I had to watch Cobra Kai after this. Cause I was like, why do I have to watch more of this? If this was this, what, like, I was not looking forward to seeing more of whatever's to come. Because I'm like, why? Yeah. If anyone's going to make something after this, why make it?
All right. Now that we got our frustration done with the 2010 remake that failed completely on every single level.
Yeah.
And actually set the movie franchise back.
Yeah.
And had to go into a TV series. Yeah.
Break or something?
Or no, it'd be
eight years. Sorry.
8 year break. Into a TV series on YouTube Red when it first came out.
Not even YouTube Premium.
Not even Premium. Just Red. And that was before they had Premium.
Yeah. That's how far back it goes. Well,
but
it's not that far.
Just so we give a little context to Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
Which is the next part of this we're talking about. It started on YouTube Red. Then third season started on Netflix.
And that's where it is still.
And it definitely made it better. Like,
the same year Cobra Kai came out, 2018, Infinity Wars, Black Panther, Deadpool 2.
Okay, well, I mean, yeah.
Jurassic World 2, Aquaman, and Fantastic Beasts 2.
But you can't be citing movies because this is a TV show.
No, I'm just saying the hits of the year, movie-wise, because this was a franchise that was only movies before.
That's true.
And I'm bringing it up because I'm referring to what was popular that everyone was talking about.
Oh, so you're saying that the movie, like, cinema has moved on.
Yeah, and we're in that phase right now where movies, like, Disney has caught on and is doing Disney Plus shows now instead of movies, and there's a lot of that transition.
For it,
yeah. And we're in that phase of it crossing over or kind of merging together.
Mm-hmm.
And so that year, if you notice, is even the smallest list that we've had that we just covered all the movies. And most of these that I just said for 2018 were superhero movies. So it's kind of refreshing when there's something outside of that.
We really have to talk about, like, the massive surge that has been superhero movies.
And yeah.
One
keeps growing, where everything else is, like, kind of dying out.
Why is it growing? Yeah. But anyway.
But Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai.
Is growing and it is expanding compared to what it was doing 8 years before. Yeah. And my question to you, Dante, why is it growing?
And we will continue and hear Dante's response just after these messages.
And we're back.
Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai.
Is growing and it is expanding compared to what it was doing 8 years before. Yeah. And my question to you, Dante, why is it growing?
It's fucking awesome.
Why is it awesome?
Sorry.
All right. Your true colors are showing. That's fine. I was trying to lead it in, but you could just say it if you want.
It's fucking awesome. Okay, so Cobra Kai, the first season specifically, follows Johnny Lawrence, who was the antagonist Daniel LaRusso in the first movie.
Yeah.
And he's a down on his luck dude. Mm-hmm. Like, after the tournament and after he got choked out by a sensei,
Hold on a second.
What?
Are you saying that Cobra Kai is a sequel to the first movie?
To the first
movie plus the part of the second one.
Okay, so not part of the second one. Actually, I wanted to get to that later.
We can go back to that. Okay,
but
put a pin in that then.
There is more that it connects with.
Okay,
we'll come back to 2 and 3.
Oh, I can't wait to hear more then. All right, carry on.
So the first season follows Johnny Lawrence, and then Daniel's daughter crashes into... Daniel has a daughter now.
Was it really her, though?
No,
okay.
It wasn't.
Okay.
It was her friends. Gotta clear that up. It was her snobby friends or whatever. They crashed into his car. Okay, he goes to Daniel's dealership. And's like, daughter, like, he has a mouth on him.
Oh, yeah.
And
which
like,
I'm sure I would be frustrated, too.
Yeah. And so he goes to Daniel, because Daniel has I guess I should have mentioned that. Daniel now owns this auto dealership.
Oh, God, yeah, that is definitely a big thing you skipped.
Yeah, I did. So, I'm so sorry.
All right.
There's a lot happening.
You've got to catch me up to speed on this. All right.
Okay. Yeah. Daniel has a dealership. Johnny, down on his luck, doesn't have shit, right?
Okay. Right.
Johnny lives next door to this kid, Miguel, in Reseda, where Daniel used to live.
Oh, okay.
And Daniel now lives in Ensenado? You don't find this out for a few episodes, but Johnny actually came from Ensenada. Like, his mom and his stepdad lived in Ensenada. So he was a rich kid, but is now a poor guy in his, like, 50s, or almost 50s, living in a shitty apartment. The point is, Daniel has now moved up in life, while Johnny, his rival from the first movie, has moved down.
Yeah.
Okay? All cut up. His daughter, Daniel's daughter, ran into Johnny's car that he had.
Which was his original car.
Which was his original car.
From the 1984 movie.
Exactly. He goes to Daniel's auto shop. Daniel fixes it up for him. And then...
That was nice of him.
Well, I mean, his daughter... I mean...
He doesn't know that, though.
He didn't know that. Wait, so why would he do that?
He was... He felt bad for him.
Oh,
because
yes.
Because of everything he's seen him go through. So it was like...
Thank you.
He wanted to be a...
The bigger man.
Yeah. Which, of course, probably pissed off Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, screw you. I don't need your pity service. Yeah, pity handouts.
So then he gets drunk and he goes back home or to this little strip mall. And he's drinking on this, like, just on this curb. And some kids are hassling his next door neighbor, Miguel, who is a main protagonist in this show. I say main because they're like 5 to 10 main protagonists in this series.
Yeah, I do think that it's got quite a big cast of characters.
It does.
That seem to grow just from the first season I've seen.
Oh my god, even more in the later seasons. But we don't have to talk about that.
He continued on that. Yeah,
he helps this kid out and basically pulls a Mr. Miyagi and saves him from these kids who are hassling.
That's true. Yeah. I think about that. Yeah.
He beats all these kids up, right?
Yeah.
Saves them. Then the kid like hassles him to create or teach him how to become a fighter. First he's hesitant, but after a while they open a dojo up. They name it Cobra Kai. Throughout the first season, he trains Miguel. In the meantime, I'm pretty sure Johnny's son.
Yeah. I hadn't heard you say anything about Johnny's son yet.
It would have been too confusing if I just
introduced everything at once.
Yeah.
Well, I think they even took their time to introduce Johnny.
Exactly.
Kind of gave it a little bit of time to grow.
Yeah. And his son, who you find out is like a thief. He's stolen things.
He's in high school, but he's been not going to school. Just dropped
because
out.
Johnny doesn't live with his ex-wife, who he had a kid with. And the kid lives with his mom, and she's kind of out all the time with random dudes trying to get him a better life. Just like Daniel's mom did in Daniel's mom. Johnny's mom did.
Yeah.
So you find out that he wants... I don't even know how to explain all of what happens in season one, but a lot happens, right?
There's a lot of crossover that I think really... I started to notice it for me. I even wrote down notes on that. It was episode 5 that the crossover point really started to like reveal itself more, where I was like, oh, for instance, Johnny's son wants to be trained by Daniel.
Yeah.
And then Johnny is training Miguel.
Yeah.
And but Miguel is into Daniel's daughter,
Sam.
And but I didn't really see enough to see if Johnny's son liked her also, but it seemed like there was like a love triangle or something.
But yes.
It seemed like that was kind of what they're
later
setting
seasons
up.
Reveal that.
Okay, it already seemed like they were kind of setting that up, and I was like, oh, it seemed like, because it already looked like Miguel looked like that he thought that Sam was into, or sorry.
Yeah, Samantha. Sam,
yeah, was into the what's the other guy's name?
Robbie.
Robbie. Oh, Robbie, okay.
Robbie Keane.
The thing I want to mention over talking over the other movies before this show, what led to this, I was really interested to see what would be different. And what's weird to me is bringing back the old was new.
Right?
And it weird. Worked. Like, it's like, how can they bring this old thing back? But because they made it more relevant and made it modern time, day, not like, you know, still in the 80s or something, it was relevant and had the characters be the characters.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, we replace, it's even the same actor.
Yeah, it's the same actors.
It made it so much
nicer. It's Mark Ruffalo. No, what the fuck? No, what? No, 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 no. Ralph Macchio is what I meant to say.
We can leave
Mark
that in.
Mark Ruffalo.
We can leave that in.
No.
The Hulk makes appearance?
Yep.
Anyways.
It's Ralph Macchio and still William Zabak. Same characters that play Daniel and Johnny in the movies. And even Johnny gets back with his old Cobra Kai
Whoa, kid. Spoilers.
Whatever.
Okay. Okay.
That's not that much.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It's also, it's interesting because I felt like the setup for the first movie and where they went with the characters, and then the new movie, the remake, is like, okay, they're kind of repeating what that one did, but in a worse way. And then this one, it was bringing up all the references of the other one in a clever way, where I was like, oh, now they're showing the training he had. Now he's the trainer and he's going through it, and how different both of those characters looked at something. Like, I would say Johnny is more of a realist and Daniel is more of an optimist, where he's like trying to think positive, and Johnny will just straight up say like, you're fat, you're stupid, you're ugly,
don't be a pussy.
Yeah,
like, and there's a lot of
Daniel is much more like, you know, you're the best person you can be, you're putting the best side out
be
there.
The best you can be.
It's so different philosophical ways of looking at the world, or we're looking at each other. And that's what made that really interesting, with their interactions when
the two differences.
Do finally see them interact together.
Yeah.
And I don't want to really give anything away if anybody does want to check it out.
It's a really good series.
It's okay. The other thing I'll say, which is really hard for me to say because I didn't really... I hated the second movie, and the first movie I thought was okay. This is the best one out of the three.
I know.
It's way better.
I knew you would like it. I knew you would like it.
It's the one I'm like, well, what led to this? It makes me satisfied that I sat through all the garbage to get to this. But
I think with bringing back the old to show the new with this show,
good balance.
I feel like they did a great job of showing specific scenes from the first movie that like really influenced the character. Like, not even like that long of a scene. They would do like a 20-second clip of something that happens in the movie, and if you've seen the movie, then you know what the character is like, what it's referencing, so it's not completely out of place. And it shows how Daniel perceives the situation and how Johnny perceives the situation just from showing an old clip. Like, what I mean is, there's a scene where Johnny is talking to Miguel about how he was bullied by Daniel as a kid.
Oh, you totally
relate. Right? But, like, Johnny was the antagonist of that film. And then, like, right as he says, I was bullied by Daniel, it shows a clip of Daniel in the first movie, the 1984 movie, putting the hose down and drenching him. Does a great job of using like very tiny clips from that movie to show what the character is going through now, or to even like in later seasons, introduce a character that Daniel or Johnny had run into.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of things where they did it just right with, like, referencing old material. It's perfect. But what I look at it as is, like, they reversed it. So they're like, this character was the villain of the story. Now he wants to be the hero. I sympathize with him. Or I feel bad. I want him to get out of this problem. Then I look at the other character. I'm like, oh, I wanted to root for him. And now I'm wanting to root for this guy. And then this guy is training this kid who's an asshole to his dad. But then he's sweet to this guy. And, like, he's nice to him. And so it's just, like, interesting. I think what makes it interesting to me is I have a hard time choosing who to root for, because I end up liking them, which to me is like, oh, where are they going to go with this? Because it's a conflict of philosophical views, but they are both trying to better themselves or better someone else by training them, giving them life lessons and training. But they both do it in different ways too. So it's like, well, I train, like, for instance, let's just give an example of Johnny. How he treats people is like, oh, this is how things are. You need to, like, if you don't
strike first, you're a pussy.
Yeah, things like that. And so all of Robbie's life, he's been like, oh, that's how things are. Then he meets Daniel, and Daniel's training him, and he's like mind blown, like, oh my god, this is so different than how I think. This is so different than what my dad raised me as. And he makes a connection that he never had with his own father, which is sad, but also, like, beautiful to see with this other person.
I feel like the moment that Robbie really grew was the moment that Daniel taught him how to care for a bonsai tree, just like Mr. Miyagi taught him.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, it even showed a tiny, like, 10-second clip of them trimming a bonsai tree from the original movie, and it just worked so perfectly. Like, there's a lot of that TV show that just is really fun to watch.
It's just weird that I'm saying this is good when it's almost 40 years from the original.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Well,
38 years.
Yeah, that's true. And what... Sorry, I was going to say something else.
I don't know. I'm just thinking it's weird to me that they make a series this long after the movie. And before getting it right, they got it wrong. And then horribly. Took some back steps and kind of... reintroduce the characters we already knew, but did a time jump showing them as adults and still dealing with life lessons, and like now they're the parent, now they have to train. It's just very, like, unique, and I wasn't expecting that or didn't know what to expect, and I'm interested to see, like, what else will happen in it.
Who did you think was gonna win at the All Valley tournament?
I didn't see the ending.
You haven't seen the ending of
season 1 yet? I have, like, 10 minutes left in the
episode. Oh my god.
You can just tell me. I'm not really, like... We're at already an hour. Although we'll probably cut out some moments.
Okay, we gotta pause real quick.
Why? What's going on?
Because we gotta go watch the end. Alright, now that you've actually seen the rest of the episode...
Okay, yeah, we just got back from finishing that with 20 minutes left or whatever.
Who did you think was gonna win?
Okay, I actually thought Robbie was going to win.
Yeah.
I was, and one other thing, I don't know if I said this yet, but as I've been watching the season, the two, or I guess characters that I tended to root for or like was both Robbie and his dad.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
But, and they were on opposing sides in this whole thing, but I liked and felt bad for, what's his name again? Johnny?
Johnny, the sensei?
Yeah.
Sensei Lawrence? Yeah.
Johnny. I liked him, and I felt bad for him from the start. And then as we got to know Robbie, I preferred him also.
Right?
So those are the and it's weird because they're father and son, and they're completely opposing sides on things.
Yeah.
Those are the characters I felt, like, bad for and felt, like, sympathetic, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting how the fight ended, which I don't know if I should say how it ends.
I think you should.
We're covering it. Okay, let's just say it because we're kind of covering it anyways. It's interesting to me because Robbie lost. And what's his name won?
Miguel.
Miguel won.
Miguel Diaz.
And it's really interesting to me because it shows, like, the philosophy behind that to me shows that even though why am I blanking what his name is? Jimmy?
Johnny. The sensei?
The sensei. Even though his student won.
Yeah.
He wasn't happy. He didn't feel, or at least it didn't appear that he was like, I don't know.
Exactly thrilled.
Satisfied or thrilled. And it made me think of, there's a difference between success and happiness.
Yeah.
And they don't always come together in terms of what you're going through. Sometimes in life you find success, but you lose everyone along the way.
Yeah.
And you're not happy even though you're successful. But then there's people that are happy that are unsuccessful, but they have everyone or people in their life that they want. So it's just interesting to see that he was not happy even though he found success with his karate, what do they call it?
Dojo? Yeah.
Yeah, and he has like success in he has success in the dojo, but he's not happy with what he's lost along the way or challenges
Robbie.
He's had.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's like interesting, like what's more important to people, whether it's success or happiness.
A big arc that Johnny goes through in the second season is teaching his students how to find mercy, even though like the motto is fight hard and no mercy is one other thing in the motto, but especially with the end twist that John Kreese, the sensei that he
made
had
an appearance, that surprised
comes
me
comes back.
Yeah,
so it's interesting, especially for how the show moves forward after that season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to spoil anything.
We already did.
Well, for this next future seasons, because you're probably going to watch more seasons, right?
Probably.
Okay, so
I don't think it's the best series ever. I don't think it's the best show ever.
Definitely not.
It's better than any of the other things we had watched in this podcast. In this episode,
I have listed.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, it was better than the Karate Kid show or movies.
Yeah,
both movies combined.
Definitely.
So it seems to be like they've improved or found some, and that's where I wanted to say old versus new. There's something I think is interesting about why would somebody want to make something new if there's an old one that's so good, unless you want to improve it or add to it. And that's exactly what they were doing with this.
Yeah.
So the thing I'm hopeful for is other franchises do the same. I hope there's an old franchise that's out there that you and I love and want a continuation of, and they can improve it, add to it, and bring back nostalgia, but also like create something.
Now I'm trying to think of what I would want to see. Moving forward throughout the second season, Johnny really tries instilling, he is successful with Miguel, instilling that people do deserve mercy. Like, it's not always about no mercy every time. Like, he does instill that in some of his students.
Okay, whatever that means.
Well, okay, so that's another thing I'm going to mention, is that in the seasons that follow, there is a ton of switching of alliances.
Okay.
Like, where I'm at right now, Hawk is no longer a part of Cobra Kai.
Okay.
So, like, just... And he's a secondary character for now, but he becomes a main character later. There's a lot of back and forth between Johnny and Daniel on how they train. But it's not all about destroying Johnny's Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
Like,
sounds like the daughter is going to even have more involvement too.
So the next tournament doesn't happen until the end of season 4.
Oh,
so
okay,
there's
so I should just skip everything. No.
No, you shouldn't, because there's a ton of character growth and
Is it going to be like dragged out or just really soap opera dramatic?
It does get a little
It
does get a little dramatic.
Cuz I don't like less into that.
But I feel like the karate and the characters keep the show
Interesting
and grounded enough.
Okay.
It does get into a bit of a drama fest between season 3 and 4, but it's just because of what Netflix had to, they were going through a phase where they were like, well, how do we take on this show, right?
So, yeah, but they probably didn't know how big it was going to get.
Exactly.
The success it's brought in them.
Yeah, exactly. So with season 3, there's a major shift in tone.
Okay.
And it doesn't last. I mean, I would say it lasts until what happens at the end of season 2 is resolved.
Oh, okay.
Not with every character, because that's a lot of characters by then, but with most characters at the end of season 3, what happened at the end of season 2 is, for the most part, resolved for, like, the main characters.
Okay. And do you know when season 5 is coming out?
All I saw after I finished season 4 was, it's official, season 5 is coming.
That's okay.
So,
Is there more you want to say about the TV show?
I really enjoyed the whole thing.
you practically, for this, I just want to mention that for this episode, for our podcast, you watched everything Karate Kid.
I have watched everything Karate Kid, yeah.
Yeah, you watched more than me. So you definitely were more dedicated than I was, so I apologize for that.
But you don't have to apologize for that. I mean, it's okay. Especially because, like, I watched 2, 3 and the next Karate Kid when I was little.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen those in a while.
Oh, okay. I thought you watched it. Oh, okay, never mind.
I just know them because it's just through... Okay, so... In season 3, at the start of season 4, someone from Cobra Kai comes back that Daniel trained under. So
from the other movies?
In Karate Kid 2, Daniel, a brief stint, joins Cobra Kai.
Okay, so there's going to be some sort of, like... Wait, is it referencing that as that happened, or is that...
It's the character that comes back.
Okay.
And it does reference it, but just to kind of bring the audience back up to speed to, like, what this guy has done.
So movies 2, 3, and 4 are non-canon in this show, but they're kind of referenced?
No, they are canon.
Oh, they are? Okay.
2 and 3, at least. I don't know about... the next Karate Kid.
Oh, okay.
I don't even count that as 4, because when a movie usually has...
Except seemed like a reboot?
It didn't feel like a reboot. It just felt like putting Miyagi in with a different character. So like, just like teaching someone new.
A side sequel?
Yeah, kind of like a side sequel, okay. I would say.
Yeah, I get what you're saying then.
And the protagonist was a female girl.
Yeah.
Which
maybe they're kind of doing in the show. I don't know.
No, I don't.
So I wanted to mention one thing. I don't know if you read or looked it up. So the Karate Kid, the Cobra Kai, in the same world as the Karate Kid movies. Cobra Kai is the TV show.
Yeah.
In its connection. But the Karate Kid movie 2010 is non-canon.
No.
The creator of Cobra Kai, I looked it up. He said that the people in the Cobra Kai show have watched the movie 2010 Karate Kid, but it's like, it's not in their universe. So it's like, oh, it's just a movie. I thought that was
funny. Okay. I get what you're...
It's like a meta thing.
But have they watched the... Well, I mean, obviously, Ralph Macchio and William Zabka, it's such a weird last name, have... seen the movie because they were in it, but like, have the students?
I don't know. That I just read that the producers and writer of the show said, like, oh, this the movie Karate Kid doesn't exist except for the 2010 one,
yeah.
And so that's like in their world version of it, And they say, like, that, I guess there's some reference, apparently, that Jackie Chan's an actor. So they're like, yeah, it's a reference in that.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting, kind of funny.
I will say, in the second season, Miguel, I feel like they don't know what to do with him.
Oh, really? They're like, oh, well, he was supposed to be with a girl, and that's all they kind of led up to. And then he was bullied, and now he's, like, outbeat the bully.
I think
the bully kind of, like, disappeared after, like, episode 7 or whatever, after he beat him.
Oh, what was his name? Zader or something?
Yeah, and he was after the girl, and then he gave up on
the girl. He comes back in season 3.
Oh, okay.
But, so he does come back because he's bigger and, you know, he's an older kid, so.
Okay.
Cobra Kai, he joins Cobra Kai, but that's not really important, to be honest. Miguel doesn't really grow in season 2. But Hawk does, Samantha does, a few new characters do, and Aisha, they all have their own time to shine in season 2.
Is there anything else you want to
say? Also, Robbie does. Oh, okay. Because Miyagi-Do. So you were right with the love triangle thing.
Mm-hmm.
With Miyagi-Do, I mean, he joins it and Sam joins it, so you can see where that...
Yeah.
You know. And then I think season 2 takes place over a whole summer.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And then season 3 takes place over the school year leading up to the tournament. Season 4.
I can't like participate in any of this. I don't know.
I know. I'm just giving an overlay of what like what to expect. Season 4 focuses on the tournament.
Oh, all right.
But yeah, so
what do you think of the show?
They all have their own seasons is what I was trying to get at. They all have their own like seasons as in like your
one's in the spring, one's in the fall.
Exactly. Yeah.
So overall of the show, like was there something you want to say that wasn't a seasonal thing, like between seasons, but like just the series over, or not,
see,
I don't want to use the word series. I want to use, I guess that's franchise, the TV series.
I had fun.
Oh, okay.
Watching the whole thing. Like I had a blast watching the whole thing, even if like some parts were over dramatized. Like,
yeah, there was moments. I still had fun with season 1.
Yeah. I had a ton of fun watching season 1.
I told you the characters I like. I don't remember you telling me what characters you
liked. Oh, I liked Miguel, Johnny. I liked Robbie, too. I liked Hawk.
Hawk, yeah.
Like,
well, yeah, you didn't like Daniel? I'm surprised you didn't say that yet. I didn't really care for... I didn't hate him, but...
He gets more screen time in the later seasons, so... Yeah. If we're just focusing on season 1,
okay,
these are the main characters.
And so, yeah, that thank you for doing that.
And Aisha. I loved Aisha. She was a fucking badass.
Aisha?
Yeah.
That's
the girl with glasses.
Oh, yeah,
who's
yeah,
overweight,
yeah.
Joins.
Yeah. She was cool.
Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's
cool. She was funny, too.
Yeah. So, she's cool.
I liked what they did with her character arc.
I like what they've done with
her friendship with the other girl that.
Oh, Sam.
Yeah. And yeah. How, like, she's like, oh, well, she's popular, and I can't... But then they're, like, still friends. So
yeah.
That was cool. I like how they handled
it. Yeah. A lot of... So, I think what really makes this series better than the movies is the fact that it shows not just...
Training?
Training, and... But it shows how the adults... And the students are like reacting to
they're going
shows
to
both sides,
like, yeah,
you know, exactly. Whereas in the movies, it doesn't show how John Kreese, the sensei of Cobra Kai, is feeling this whole time, except that he's a fucking bad guy.
I think,
and that Miyagi is good, and
yeah,
that's all you really get from those characters. But in the TV series, it has time to showcase.
That's what I was about to say.
What the parentals are actually thinking and wanting,
yeah,
you know?
I think that TV shows are getting more popular and why the transition from film to TV is happening, because there's much more time to elaborate characters, character development. Storytelling has much more time to grow.
Yes.
Versus we only have an hour to 2 hours to tell it. We got to get to it. But when you have a whole season to tell a story, not only do we get to know those characters better, we understand their reasoning behind it, their morals, their values, their even like their philosophical ideas by what they they think.
Yeah, it shows how Johnny perceived a situation, and it shows how Daniel perceived a situation.
Yeah.
Even with the like old movies, like how I was saying earlier that Johnny was telling Miguel that Daniel was bullying him, but in reality they were both bullying each other.
Yeah, they were.
You know, but
and because, handling it differently.
Yeah, now we get to hear like Johnny's side, and we also get to see Daniel's side as well. And in later seasons that happens more, and it's nice.
And they could have done this as a movie. I definitely think they could have made a Cobra Kai movie. And I don't think
it would have been as good.
It wouldn't have given us as much as what we got, because we wouldn't have had as much time to get to know the characters.
Yeah.
And get to see them grow.
Miguel definitely redeems himself after what happened between him and Sam.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that.
But if you want, I would suggest watching the series, because I thought it was fun.
Anyone listening, if you have not checked it out and you still want to check it out after
and
us.
And you have Netflix.
Going on about it, and we haven't turned you off from it yet.
I would hope not.
No.
I hope not.
But that
would be the opposite of what we're trying to do here.
If anything, if they turned off, it might be because they've already seen it, or that they don't want to hear about something because it's spoilery. But,
Yeah. I mean, you can always skip past the parts where I start talking about the second and third season or fourth season. Whatever, do you.
We should probably wrap up soon.
Definitely.
But, okay. Any final thoughts or comments on the TV show? Because I have one other thing I want to mention. But not the show.
I'm excited to see season 5 because it looks interesting.
With where you are on the show.
Where I am.
Okay. One other thing about the show. I only watched season 1. I was happy, and I don't know if this is weird to say, but I was happy that the episodes were only 20 minutes.
That were only 20 minutes?
Yeah, they were mostly only 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. That's because of YouTube Red.
And I liked it because I can get through them and do this podcast in time, where if I had to watch an hour long, are the seasons later going to be an hour?
They are 40.
Oh, that's 40, that's pretty like
45
regular, like,
because that's
episode length.
Yeah, for Netflix, it's
for Netflix. Yeah,
pretty basic shit.
Okay,
so it's not too bad, and like you don't have to watch it.
Yeah,
but season 2 is still 20 to 30 minutes long.
Yeah, because that was also YouTube.
Yeah, released. And I think they gave it a bigger budget in season 2, so I think it got a few extra minutes.
Okay.
But, yeah.
But all of it's on Netflix now, including the first 2 seasons.
Yes.
Everyone could watch it there. Okay. Alright, well, that was the last thing I wanted to say about the TV series of Cobra Kai. Now, the only other thing I wanted to mention is the overall franchise of Karate Kid, including the original, the remake,
and the movies in between.
And movies which we could include those, but I haven't seen them.
Right.
So I was strictly saying 1984, 2010, and then Cobra Kai show. The franchise of Karate Kid, because even though it's called Cobra Kai, it's still part of the Karate Kid franchise.
Yeah.
We're talking of something that's over almost 40 years old.
Yeah.
From where it started to where we are now. Mm-hmm. What can we say about it? Because you're the reason we picked this movie franchise is because we were saying, like, what can we say that's generations...
Generation-wise?
Yeah, what can we say about this franchise?
I think the film making in it has improved with the TV show. Okay, so like with the first movie, I think it did a great job of establishing what the principles behind the principles that Miyagi is trying to teach Daniel. And it shows a good job of character growth with both of them. And it does set up a lot to be explored, not karate wise, just like the way Miyagi is, like all that history that isn't shown in the first movie. There's a lot
more later
that is shown in the second and third,
which maybe why a TV show does works, because it has more time, where one movie obviously doesn't really.
And then much. With the 2010 one, it was prettier. Like, it had better sweeping shots and like establishing shots, and Jackie Chan.
I guess my question I was trying to ask is, like, what do we get from all of this, from the overall franchise, from beginning to end? Like, where what we've gone through. Like, maybe you can say one thing from one movie, but, like, overall, like, do you think the franchise is blossoming or blooming because of Cobra Kai? Or do you think it fizzled out? And then, you know, why, like... Because obviously we're talking like 40-something years. I think...
To use the bonsai tree as an example...
That's a good point.
The first one gave it its roots. But the second one... not the second one. The 2010 one did a really good job of uprooting those roots and leaving the bonsai tree to almost... die away,
right? Yeah.
And then I think Cobra Kai
back to its roots.
Whoa, that's very ominous. It went back to its roots,
no pun intended,
replanting the bonsai tree, giving it some water to grow, and then you can see the growth it takes throughout the second, third, and fourth season.
Yeah,
so I will say that it definitely is regrowing. But it's still a small tree in a pot.
I think it's interesting. We're talking about something that's like almost 40 years old. Or 40... Mm-hmm. A franchise within almost 40 years.
Yeah.
And there's a story that everyone can relate to 40 years later. And yet, you know, the different generations of people, you know, have watched different versions of this. And yet we can still tell this story of people dealing with life in, you know, in different ways. I'm not the biggest fan of sports movies, and I would kind of call this a similar... It's considered a martial arts film when I looked it up.
Yeah.
But it's on the fence of being like a sports movie. Because I guess...
Because there's a tournament?
No, not necessarily that, but like martial arts is considered a sport.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But it's not considered a sports movie, but I'm not the biggest fan of sports movies. I'm just like, whatever. Yeah. But I do think it's a little bit different. I don't know, maybe it's just has my interest because of the characters that I like, or it's either relatable, likable, or I'm just I feel invested, or I feel like I want to see where it goes.
I think it does a good job of investing you in all those characters.
And that's that a franchise you like
from the first movie.
Yeah, and that's where I think, to me... That's what's interesting to me, that it kind of blows my mind. I'm like, oh, it's so long it's been out, and it's been going. And yet, because I was thinking this movie, the original came out years before you and I were even born.
Yeah.
And yet it's still relevant. And of course it's relevant
today. And I still loved it as a kid. You know?
So there's just something about that I thought, overall, speaking on the our lifespan, on how things have come and gone. And there's something there for everyone, and the idea of like, well, we all have struggles, we all have wants, needs, we all want success, and we all want happiness, and sometimes we don't get both, and sometimes one wins over the other, and even if you win the tournament, you might not be happy, but you might be happy even if you know. So it's just very fascinating.
No, I completely agree.
It's
it's
unique, and I think like 40 years later, it's still something that humanity. has to face. So that's all I'm trying to say about it.
I would agree with that. And I think that's a good note to leave us off on, to be honest.
All right.
Yeah. Well, like always, I've been Dante. Nate just bowed.
And I've been Nate. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you enjoyed this karate fight.
This whole series, this whole franchise has been fun to talk about.
Yeah, it definitely has. And yeah. I'll probably end up watching more and talking
you
about
should.
It.
You should. It's fucking awesome. All right.
And we'll see you all in the next episode. Do we know what we're going to talk about in the next episode?
Not yet.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Well, we don't know.
Oh, wait. We could. No? We'll talk about it.
All right. Well, we'll find out. You guys will find out in the next episode, or I guess whenever it comes out.
Yep. All right. Have a good night. Make sure to hit that follow button on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and anywhere you like listening to podcasts, because we post on a either bi-weekly basis or weekly, depending on how many episodes.
Depending how long it takes me to finish. Or you. Whatever.
Whichever. All right. Have a good night.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.